our experiences. We can also pass on some of that, you know, knowledge to brothers who are not able to attend. So I was thinking maybe two categories, if we can share how the two categories. Something that is related to leadership or specific to shepherding or something that resonated when you heard it that you say, this is something that I think will help us here as a body. And then the other thing, if you can maybe share something that was personal in terms of your personal growth. You see, that's it's kind of something you next step in your personal growth. So those four at the table were there. I'll get started. This was my idea. there was quite a bit to walk away with, I think. But interestingly enough, when I was walking out, I stopped and had a conversation with another elder. And our conversation really resonated with me, and I think we might be able to relate to it in a way. He had said that he had been really struggling with whether or not he was really suited for his job, the calling. And he was looking at it from the standpoint of like looking back in time, 5, 6, 7 years. He didn't put a number on it, but just I'm putting that number on it. And then looking at how things are today. And he was said, this is really under my shepherding watch, my leadership. This has happened, whatever this it is for him. We all probably have some of this in our own head too. And he said, I was just at the point of the struggle. I was just ready to say, maybe God is finished with me. And do I have anything really to give anymore? And the session helped him. And it helped me from that standpoint too, because there was something said about not looking back to evaluate what's going on today, right? And sometimes I know I can do this. If I'm looking back on the way things were, and I tend to glorify that those things, and I bring that experience to the present, it looks like things are really, God's not doing something here, right? I think what Jim was one challenge us to recognize is that God is working.
Amen.
He is working. And look for those things. Find God working, doing those things that he's working. And so that resonated with me from the standpoint of not only for my personal growth, but in terms of how I can maybe lead through those lenses, right? Encourage through those lenses, shepherd through those lenses. And so that's my takeaway. That's my takeaway I wanted to share with the group. And so I'll just leave it open for anybody else that was there if they had something they may want to share.
I really liked the, this was just one of his little nuggets, but saying that you should make a list of 10 people so you can focus who you're pouring into and who you're being intentional with your time.
Yeah.
And then he mentioned putting your family on it, and I was like, I don't have many slots left. but no, just in the moment of making that list, though, I realized there were certain people that, like, I really wanted to focus on. And I probably wouldn't have thought of that if I hadn't had that prompt.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I was thinking.
I know you were doing a 15K, so you probably.
I missed half of the. Yeah, I missed the morning part. But I was thinking the same thing. So the two things I wrote down is having a vision for others. You know, is there people that you see, but then also being intentional, being committed, and being available. And so it's not just having a vision and praying for them, but you know, making time and hey, are we getting together once a month, every other, you know, twice a month, something like that, and doing that. And the other is, you know, often you make a list of people you want to get with, but often there are people that you don't necessarily get a lot of energy from, but you still need to get with. Yeah. And especially as an elder, and I pray about that, and I need to be committed to those people and available and intentional for them as well. And I just need to make sure that I'm doing that too.
Okay. Good challenge.
Yeah, the thought that came to my mind immediately when you said that was the intentionality of it. I think no matter what we decide is the right things to do as an elder or a member or anybody else, it takes intentionality. I mean, it takes making a decision, regardless of my feelings, where I'm feeling at the point. But this is something that I need to do. I mean, I want to do it, but I need to do it. And really keeping that intentionality in the forefront, because it's not going to just happen. You know, if we think it's just going to happen, we'll be sitting here 6 weeks, two right. months, 6 months from now, and it hadn't happened, you know. And so it's just getting into that habit of intentionality, you know, to say, okay, this is what I need to do, and so I'm going to do it. And so.
Okay.
And I think that's something that's can be contagious, you know. If yeah. you, if you're doing that, then I think the people around you will see that.
Yeah.
Too,
so. Okay. Well, thank you guys for taking time to share from that experience, and I'll pray on what we talked about. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to have a God like you.
Amen.
We can depend on, Lord. Mm-hmm. One that knows us in so many intimate ways, Father. You said that while we were being knitted together in our mother's womb, you were there. Mm. You were present. And Father, you said that, you know, the things that are meaningful in life is that those are the things that we want to focus on. We want to be men that just focus on those things that will bring not only joy, but meaning and have eternal consequences and help others to be a part of that journey and being very intentional in what we do, Lord, not in happenstance, but intentional. And we thank you, Father, for Jim Martin this weekend, and the things that he discussed in his sermon yesterday was very good as well. And Father, and as we lead out, Father, as I was sharing with Jeff earlier today, and when we had our Next Steps class and we're going over the qualifications of the elders, it made me think, how did you select me? but you did. And I'm very humbled as I walk into those shoes. And Father, I know that those qualifications are there to remind us that we need to make sure that we are dependent on you and not on our own.
Yes.
And we just pray we keep that in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We'll just run it. Let's go next to people.
Back up for a moment. I wasn't there, but I've been praying about leadership and, you know, what the things you just said. Really, I think everybody feels that. You know, things the way it used to be aren't there anymore.
Right.
And it's different. And I was humbled by the fact when Ross asked me to, you know, have coffee with him sometime, I threw my hands up and said, I don't know when I can do it. And I thought, I went home and told my wife that, and she said, you stupid.
Amen for wives.
That's why we have to have wives. Yeah. I really believe that. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's that board I've got in my eye that I can't see, you know. Mm. And what hit me was thinking back to the way it used to be, you know, we had years ago deacons. And deacons were junior elders is how the way people looked at it. It was a training ground to become an elder. And there was sometimes, just keep it positive for the moment. But we got away from that, I think for a very good reason, that we wanted to bring women to be able to serve in ways. And, you know, we had that whole issue. And I really think the idea of having ministry leaders was excellent, and it's worked well for us, and I don't want to give that up. But I got to thinking, Ross, about what you were asking, and I thought, you know, instead of, you know, deacons, I think in the first century, they were there to take some of the heat off of the of the church in terms of dealing with the widows and so on, but they also preached, and most importantly, they prayed, and they got in people's lives. And I thought, you know, that's what we're missing around here. We need more people. And somehow the term deacon like becomes a title of entitlement or something, as opposed to, you know, just being a servant. But I'm thinking maybe we could make Ross the first deacon. And we say, Ross, you don't have to come to these meetings and listen to all the garbage sometimes that we go through. We just want you to go out there and, you know, be listening for what you hear God calling you, and see if you can find some guys, you know, who are younger and, you know, be a person that would work with them. And I know we talk about, you know, raising up leaders, but I really think God calls leaders. You know, historically, you go back and look in the Bible, I mean, Moses, you know, he didn't want to do it, and, you know, he had to have Aaron, and, you know, there's all kinds of stories. But I really believe that the Holy Spirit is what, you know, strengthens the church. And the Holy Spirit has been so muffled in, you know, my lifetime. We're afraid to talk about, you know, experiences. And I just feel that, you know, it's time for a change. And we need to do things differently that might work. And like you said, intentionality, and, you know, having a junior board of, you know, people sitting around and doing their thing with PowerPoints and what they think ways things should be done isn't going to cut it. And that's what we've seen in the past. And, you know, what we need are just people to go out there. And that's why I think the priesthood of all believers is so important. And we need everyone, you know, to be doing this work, but it takes time, energy, effort, and everything else. So I just drop that out there for whatever it's worth.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe we can, you know, create something that is biblical, but maybe we do it in a different way where you're not tied down to doing deacons meetings and, you know, repeating things that are being done and just having an observation, but you actually go out there and look for people who've got ideas and bring them in. And I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not, but
you have to think about that. That's interesting.
That's
idea.
All I'm throwing it out there for. Maybe we bring back a biblical word and, you know, change the meeting a bit from what it has been done historically, is what I'm suggesting.
We sort of have that currently with the shepherding, what is it called, where are they, Collins and
pastoral.
Pastoral team, and they sort of are taking that role almost, that things that would have normally been assigned to you guys to do, it's almost like that deacon role. We just have it called as pastoral team. As a, and I know Steve, Don, you worked with him some too.
As I think about the deacon role, I think there's definitely an opportunity to put some kind of layer of leadership in there that we may not have. And I'll give you an example. Like when the deacon role, we often talk about it, but there were specific things that would come up and the deacons would do it. You know, we think about, you know, the widows not feeling neglected, so they assign these guys, you know, you're the deacons, you take care of that. So I think we have need for something like that. I don't know if we call them deacons or whatever. I'll give you an example. So we got another snow event on the horizon. And our congregation tend to call the elders when they have something going, like our elderly, ladies, they tend to call the elders. And not only are we elders by title, we're going to be elders by age. And probably shoveling snow is probably not the best thing for us to be doing out there right now. I mean, some of that stuff we can do. It would be nice to have a couple of guys say, I need you to organize. Here are the five ladies that need this done. I'm not suggesting that should just be you. I'm just saying, you know, if we decide to think about this differently, and we can call those guys and say, hey, here are the ladies. Can you reach out to them and make it happen, right? I think there's a need for something like that. I don't know if you call them deacons, whatever you call them, but we definitely have a void when those kind of things come up and how to best address them, because we don't, you know, I don't know if we have a mechanism in place really to jump on that and get it done in a way that we like to get it done. And even being proactive, you know, we'll know who, okay, there's six ladies within 5 miles and there's other ones scattered out, so we know who these ladies are. They're not even having to call us. We can be calling them, right? Say, hey, we're going to be out there. I know you need to get your dog out, whatever. You know, they got dogs. They want to get out, do what they have to do. And it's dangerous for them to let to even do that. So being available to do those kind of things might not be a bad idea. Hey, Dave. Again, I don't know if you call them deacons, whatever you call them, but.
I don't think it matters to the Lord, that's for sure.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's finding, like you said, people who wish to serve. And, I mean, just a few years ago, Don and Keaton, you guys had how many people helping you with building and putting in plumbing and doing all kinds of things? And, you know, that's kind of dwindled down, I think, and you know,
so it's aged out.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know.
Anyway,
well, I guess a couple thoughts too. Is one is we should be leading the charge, and if there's things that are getting done, and if it's too much for us, that's one thing. But if we're not doing it, that's another thing. You know, so, you know, we can't, I think we need to lead the charge. You know, if we're not knee deep in it and there's more of it than we can handle, yeah, we've got to give it over. But if we're too busy doing other things to get knee deep into it, then I think that's a different story. And the other is, I think we need to also manage expectations. And so there are things that we do for people often that they don't necessarily need, you know, so like shoveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that I shouldn't shovel their driveway because they don't need to be out driving in the snow. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. And yeah. So I've done that for Ron and Joni. So I'll go up there and I'll shovel their sidewalk so they can get out, but I'm not shoveling their driveway because like, you guys don't need to get out.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some people that think, you know, the church should do this much for them. And it's like, well, you know, we will certainly help you out, but that's an expectation that might not be reasonable. Now, what reasonable is, I don't know. But I think, you know, the expectation that we shovel everybody's driveway when it snows might not be reasonable. And it might not even be the best thing for them to do. But I think, yeah, if they can't get out and get groceries or they can't get their dog out, yeah, we need to make sure that we're responsible for that. And so I guess that's the other thing is just, you know, making sure that, you know, they don't call these guys up for everything that goes wrong with their house or to shovel everything. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, because sometimes it's like, well, you did it for Mary, you're not doing it for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, then, you know, it's, I understand exactly what you guys are saying. So one is we should be knee deep in whatever it is that we need to be doing before we get deacons involved. And the other is, what are those things that are worth spending our time on? And how do we kind of manage expectations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Well, since we're on the subject of, I mean, that's a good example. You know, if Wednesday turns out to be another snow event, it's not just a matter of somebody shoveling somebody's driveway. The real crux of this thing is somebody before that, knowing who are the people that need that help, contacting those people,
checking in,
and if they are the ones that need the help, tell them that somebody will be, but then making sure we've got the people that can go do that, and having the people to go do that is a problem, you know. You know, there's people that get up and have to go to work, you know, when it's snowing, and and you know, finding somebody that can get over there and get it shoveled before it turns to ice or before it gets so packed down you can't get it off. I mean, there's a mechanism there that is not an easy mechanism to have in place, you know, and I don't know what that mechanism is per se, because have somebody can have all the desire in the world to do that, but unless we have eight bodies that can go out pretty much on a short notice and shovel driveways, then that's the bigger bigger issue. Having them ready to go, you know, and not just hoping that they'll be there. So,
and I don't disagree. It's a problem in that, you know, you never know when it snows, and the people that are young enough to shovel are people that also have jobs and families and kids and
or school.
And then the other is expectation. So, like for me, if it's 2 inches of snow, I'm not shoveling my own driveway. But there's some people, it's like, no, you got to shovel my driveway. And it's like, I'm not shoveling my driveway. You know, you can just drive over it, you know. and so it's just all this. And that it's a difficult thing, you know, to have, okay, I'm like, I got 10 people to get ready. I'm not sure when I'm going to need you or when I'm going to need you. But you got to be ready to leave your work and your family. And I don't know how you do that. Yeah, I think it's a bit of an intractable problem, and I think part of it is just managing expectations that, yeah, we'll try what we can, but that's not an expectation for every member that we're going to shovel your driveway.
Yeah, I think it gets back to leadership development, which just requires us to spend some, you know, a little bit more time in figuring this out. It's nice to at least put that on the table so we can kind of whet our appetite to realize, hey, this is something we need to spend some time on. And we'll get to that, I think, when we get to the half-a-day elder workshop. We got a couple of things we can get into that. So I'll just move the people, see who might be on you guys' list in terms of people. I know. I think Betty Bond started her radiation today.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I remember which day. It was either Monday or Tuesday. It was Monday.
Yeah. Yes, today. Yeah. Our small group does a pretty good job keeping tabs on her. Okay. I haven't heard an update or anything, but that usually starts slow. But it's like 3 treatments a week for 4 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
And so it'll get more and more draining as she goes.
Okay. All right. And like Alec, he was going to help Alice out when he and her been talking, and so when she's discharged, he's going to be there to try to pick her up and get work on his schedule. So that's
who's that, Steve?
Alice Ferry.
Alec Hill's going
to.
Yeah.
Great.
Any update on our brother?
He's home. She said he's sleeping a lot, but he's home, which is great, because if he wasn't home when she got there, then we have to figure out okay, what else is she going to need? So I'm not sure what his condition is, how much he can help her. But Ben said that she's capable of doing some things herself, and he actually bought her some cold cuts and some bread so she can make sandwiches. I'm not sure how much she got left, so. But he's home.
That's good.
Yeah, he's home.
Because that was the big emergency out of the whole thing, that he ended up in the hospital.
Yes.
And
he's a retired attorney.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're kidding. I've only met him once, and I would not have put him as a retired attorney.
That's what they look like when they're retired.
Sort of like Larry, the retired scientist.
Yeah,
or
food scientist. Yeah. I'm
like, okay.
Yeah, yes. No, it's just like in your cleaning.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just like those kinds of things.
One never knows.
Yes. So we got two more people who's going to place membership on Sunday. So great. Right here. So Nina and David Upton will be placing membership. And Josie Smith, I think she's coming along, but she's got a lot of other things going on in her life right now. I think she's ready, but these other things are really, her grandson's in the hospital.
He ended up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's heading out of town, I think, sometime midweek. So she's going to be gone for about a week. And so, but she seems ready also to place membership, but she has not finished her paperwork yet. And so our next challenge is getting them connected, you know. I reached out to Dale, and he and I are supposed to have a conversation tomorrow about connect groups and figuring out how to introduce them to connect groups. They had a really small introduction when we did the next steps, and now we're going to do something a little bit more in depth with them. And so that will be the connection part of it, is the next steps with those.
Do you guys know any small groups that meet virtually anymore?
Not that I know.
Everybody's back to in person?
Yeah, but in most of them, the ones that were virtual were meeting once a month usually, and now they've gone back to meeting once a month.
In person.
Because David a lot Upton of the St. Charles ones.
Doesn't have any transportation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm picking them up on Sundays, and so there's some connection and with the other folks on the van potentially, but I was brainstorming with him, and I told him to look for something to do Sunday morning while he's here, if there's any kind of volunteering, you know. He's not the most steady person to be passing the communion tray and stuff, but, you know, just, I don't know what that might be. Okay. But a virtual group, he's an example of somebody that would benefit from that if it existed.
Okay. All right. That's good, Dave. Thanks for that.
I discovered from my wife today that Jeff Kreider has some problems. And I didn't know if that's something that any of you all were aware of.
I just didn't know how much he is broadcasting.
The ladies all know. It was news to me.
Well, he told Brett and I, whatever elders were there that Sunday morning, a couple Sundays ago, he shared his diagnosis and caught Brett and I later in the day because we weren't there to make sure we know. So he's comfortable with this group knowing he has a prostate cancer diagnosis. Was everybody already aware of that?
No.
Okay. And so there's a little more testing to find out, borderline this, aggressive that, what do you do and everything. So he's reached out for some support and prayers to this group, but I kind of got the impression stays with this group. Whoever else is, you know, knows. Okay, but I didn't.
Book clubs get really are, you know, fantastic ways to fight that.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Anyone else coming by?
I want to throw out a family. Father daughter date night went really well. Okay. Dave and Ross were both there, and we were surprised. So Nathan and I were talking all week long that it's like we're going to have five people here, and we ended up with like 30 something plus.
Wow!
So it was really good. So I think it was one of the best that I've been to, and I've been to all of them. But this time I was without my daughters, so it was sort of as the host. But it was very interesting. So that the one family was the Chestnuts. So do you know you guys from Meek County would know them possibly?
Chestnut.
So the Chestnut is their last name. So Brian Chestnut is his name.
Is he the one with the three girls?
With the three girls.
I was about to ask who that was.
So basically, his wife grew up at Mid-County with Mel. So she knows Mel. Oh, they were
And so they showed up. So they must have met Steve or something. So Steve would know who they are. Mm-hmm. But they met Steve, I think, and they were looking for a youth group for the girls to go to because the youth group they're at, wherever they're at, is really large and very impersonal. Mm-hmm. And so they were looking for something smaller. And so they, on Wednesday night, they showed up. Mel just happened to be here dropping off Nora, and they chatted for a long time in the lobby. So I saw them from far away. So then the guy shows up on, so I see it on there. I'm like, Nathan, do you know who this is? And he tells me this little story. And he shows up, and I'm like, I know him. Or I sort of know him. He works at Edward Jones. Oh. So I'm like, he looks really familiar. And I would go over there and ask him, and he's like, I don't remember you at all. But I'm an observant person, so I see people and I just remember them. And so so we chatted a bunch. But he has been around Mid-County and McKnight for a long time. Okay. They were actually married here at the building McKnight. So it may be because they were at Mid-County and they came here for the wedding since we didn't have a building. But they didn't ever overlap any of the time that we were here at McKnight and McKnight. But they were at Ron's funeral. They were at different camp events, different at the like the Axis Fair thing downstairs. Like whenever they used to have it in the gym, like for fundraising, and so they hosted one of them. So I guess they helped out with something, and so. It seems that they're going to be around us a little bit more. Okay. So, because the girls, so they came the first time last Wednesday, mm-hmm. and they were like, let's go to this. Mm. So, nice. So the girls convinced them to go, and he's written to me at work already. So, like, I showed up on Monday morning, and he found me on my thing, and he's like, that was a great event. I'm so glad that we got to be part of it. And so we chatted some, and so it's...
Do you remember her maiden name?
No, I said, I don't know her name at all. And I've looked on Facebook for him, so I just know he's Brian, and then Hannah, I'd have to look at my phone to find him, but Hannah is one of the girls, and then there's two other girls.
Yeah, twin girls, 12-year-olds.
Yeah, the 12-year-olds are in the youth group. Yeah. The other one is just, she's in fifth grade, I think. So she's like a year or two younger.
There's a little blonde girl running around the building this week. I saw, ran past us when we were standing there talking, about 12 years old, and I thought.
Oh, that was Harmony, I think.
Oh, okay, I don't know who Harmony is.
So, yeah, so the Pattons. So do you remember Elena? So she's Lelena Grande is her name.
Oh,
so she graduated and went to Harding.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's her sister. She has two sisters, Isabel and then Harmony. And Harmony was here on Sunday.
Okay.
And she's, yeah, right that 13, 14 age.
Talking about the small world, the Gunthers were here.
Yes.
And I'm blanking on his name right now. Hers is...
Aaron.
And
JD.
JD.
I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember it on Sunday. So yeah.
They were a young couple when they were here. Yes. They had, you know, three small children, and they ended up going up. I think they're over right now at Green Tree.
Yeah, they left here and went straight to Green Tree.
They
live right down there by it. So they live
right around the corner from where the Runcies used to live, right there in Kirkwood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's a teacher, and he's a
architect.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they homeschooled the kids earlier and stuff. I mean, she had some family here that
were there. So the Hardesties.
The Hardesties, who were also members at that time. But anyway, I said, hey, great to see you. I'd love to see you come back. And he says, I think we're going to talk about that. So if anybody sees them, they'd be a wonderful addition. J.D. and Aaron Gunther.
Well, it might be too late to mention it, for it's a little stale now, but I just want to say I saw Brian Chestnut's daughter, get up there and start dancing. And he got next to her, and she was dancing crazy, and he matched her move for move. Like, over her energy and everything. I was very impressed.
Did you guys meet Albert and Miriam?
The older couple?
Yeah. So they just live here in...
One's from Columbia, one's from somewhere else.
Oh, they live here in Brentwood.
But they originated. Yeah. Yeah, so they originated from Columbia and somewhere else.
Currently the Faith Church, I guess.
And where they're at.
And they said it's just getting too far for them to go. So they said, she just says, well, we're visiting churches, mm-hmm. and yours is the closest, so we came here first. And
good.
So, okay. But they seemed to enjoy, came up to class. They were in class. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
What were the names again?
Albert and Miriam Boter, B-O-T-E-R.
Yeah, so he is from the Netherlands, I think. Oh, yeah. And then she is from Colombia, I think, is what I... Joyce
Holland, in. Wasn't it?
Holland.
Holland, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so...
So Netherlands.
Netherlands. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Joyce had come up in the middle of church and asked me about it, and she's like, what should I give to them? I need some welcome packet. And our welcome flyer was missing. That's what I was working on.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here in the lobby trying to type, and the internet wouldn't work. So Don and Brad and I, I'm like moving all around the building and typed it all up and updated it and then printed it out, and we gave them one of them. So now there's a couple of them down there. So now that we have lots of new people coming, it's like...
Yeah.
Stock it up.
Yes.
Yes.
Bradley has a court date this Thursday.
It keeps getting delayed
by the judge for a smorgasbord of reasons month after month. And so it's coming up again this Thursday. And so hopefully he'll have a release, you know, for time served and stuff like that.
Okay.
So
be praying about that. Testify for
him. What's that?
Did you have to go down there to testify?
No. No, not yet anyway, haven't been asked. Ben Maringer's been doing a really good job of connecting with him. As a tutor, Ben has privileges down at the county facility, and so it's been easy for him to go in and actually meet face-to-face instead of through the glass partitions and stuff. And so that's been a real blessing. Ben is, I think, really shining on the... pastoral
yes,
team.
He is. Yes, yes.
The names come up over and over that he is connecting with, and it's been really good to see.
So, Dave, with Bradley's original sentence,
mm-hmm.
he's almost served all of it now, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's the thing. And just as a refresher for you guys, that Bradley has been under house arrest. Ankle monitor since his sentence, and his sentence was like 4 years probation. Let's see, I'm getting my terminology. There's probation, and there's what's the other one that begins with a P?
Parole.
Anyway, like he doesn't have to serve that in the facility. And he was supposed to be, you know, monitored just for a while, and then you're released. And as long as nothing happens, everything's over in 4 years. Mm-hmm. But if something happens in the meantime, then you've got to serve that four-year sentence on the far end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he failed a lie detector test. And it's kind of a technicality thing. And so because of that, he got kicked out of his counseling group that he's required to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the counselor's decision, and he's completely willing to get into another counseling group, but his probation officer said, you got kicked out, you violated the terms of your parole, and he's been arrested. And that's what this stint is about, and what was supposed to be about a month, and then you have a court date, and what's the judge going to do? We're 6 months in, he's no longer employed, all that stuff, as the judge has found, first his attorney asked for an extension, but then... It's all the judge. It's a snowy day, you know, snowy, or the judge has some conflicting thing and the judge is sick. It's just a shame. And so now his attorney is trying to get the prosecutor to say, okay, he violated his parole, but because of his house arrest, he's almost served this whole four-year thing, mm-hmm. although it was more at home, very restrictive, couldn't even go to family gatherings, couldn't go to church. Only to work, only to shopping, only to gas up the car kind of thing. So anyway, the parole officer is arguing against that for some reason, and we don't know how it's going to play out. So that's what he's looking at, and it's just, one of those, something's broken here, you know. It's, and I get, okay, he's got to stay between the lines, but talk about the tiniest misstep just derailing everything is, wow. So that's, anyway, there's my soapbox. But this Thursday, hopefully, he'll get a decision. If they can agree on time served, that sentence can be behind him soon, or maybe he's got another few months to serve and then it's all behind him. Okay. That was what was desired, given how long it's been with everything. So,
was it a suspended imposition of sentence that blew? Is that what?
Oh, it's parole and probation. That's what I was getting confused. Okay. He was on, I guess they call it parole. What's that?
When he's using his mother's phone.
I don't remember exactly what the lie detector thing was.
It was an email address that was.
Yeah, he
on
had a
his
second.
Mom's phone or something, yeah. That was not on his. Or
yeah. And so, you know, it's. Which, that's just a shame. So this Thursday, hopefully, we'll be praying for him when we wrap up, and between now and then we'll be good. So, I'll give you a...
Okay. Anyone of you guys prepared to pray for some of the people we mentioned here tonight?
I can give it a shot. Got some of this. Yeah. Okay, Father, again, we just want to come before you, and Father, a lot of people are coming through our door, and we just pray that we touch them, and that, Father, we do what we can to bring your grace and your good news to them. Father, it's just exciting to see people like David Upton and Nina and Josie Smith, place in membership, and I just hope that we can just really have a vision for them and try to raise them up and disciple them. And Father, we excited for just a lot of the visitors, the Chestnut family, for Aaron and J.D. Gunther, for Albert and Marion, and so many others, Father. I just hope that when people come through our door, that we recognize them, we try to have a relationship with them, and Father, that we try to connect with them. Lord, I just really pray that your Spirit be at work in this building, in this church, and Father, that when the needs come in, that we do what we can to try to serve those people. Mm-hmm. We know about Alice Ferry, and we just thank you for people like Alec Hill and Corder. And the other people getting involved with her, and just thank you for that. And Father, just want to raise up, you know, Ben Maringer and so many other people in Alec that are just doing such a great job. And I just hope that we can encourage them and just really appreciate the work that they're doing. And we pray for Jeff Kreider and, you know, just the concern he has with the diagnosis, and just pray that the doctors are with him as the cancer situation, and we pray for Bradley coming up this Thursday, that Father, we just trust in you and the courts that, you know, your will be done, and it just seems like he has served his time, but I just really pray for justice in that, and that, you know, again, your will be done. And Father, again, just help us to really want to commit ourselves to the people in this building, to really feel that this is our family, and that we want to give them our time and give them our attention. And Father, just have a vision for each one of them, and just thank you for your love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Steve, I was going to ask, when we introduce new members, can we get photographs of them ahead of time so they can be displayed? Because, like, when you ask people to stand up in the back, we can't see them from the front.
Okay. So you want the photographs when now?
You know, like when we introduce new members, we were doing that pretty regularly, you know. But
we did it this Sunday.
Did we do it this Sunday?
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, there was a photograph on a screen.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's possible that you would not have seen that on the back screen.
Yeah.
So, because not...
So oh, it's from the display mode it was in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we can make sure that you see it as well. Okay. Or whoever's doing the announcement. Because if you're standing in the front, you may, like, at the podium, the back screen...
That's also a setting we can make sure that he can see it. We
yeah,
can,
so we just have to
make sure. I'm just saying for, you know, I was thinking it was Virginia or somebody, mm-hmm. you know...
The Williford's didn't have one, but I think we've been trying to do that. But, yeah, I would just try to...
Yeah, the Williford's didn't have one because they didn't send an update and they didn't want their old one up there. But, yeah, we try to, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't hold it up for waiting for a picture, but if we can get one, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Get it off Facebook.
Yeah.
That's what Jeremy did. He, if people wouldn't send it to him, he would always just go to Facebook and snag it off there. Sorry. You may have a...
Public.
Yeah. It's public. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, photographs, we got those. So we'll make sure.
And we could just take a picture in the back if we had to.
That's right. Yeah. Throw it up there.
Yeah. It
takes us 2 seconds to drop it in there and put it up there.
So, lead minister, look, the like a number fell off. It should have been like February 3rd, I think, we had the last interview. So we completed a second Zoom interview and with John Blackmore and may want to discuss what the next steps might look like with him first, and I have a couple of thoughts, but I want to just open up the floor, see what you guys are thinking.
It seems like we came away at that meeting feeling like it might be a good idea to have him come in for a visit.
I think we did. I think he had suggested maybe something, an intermediate step, like just get together and pray. You know, I think he has suggested that. And, this is kind of not off the wall maybe, but just a little different, unorthodox, is that he's a little different candidate than, are you okay sitting in here?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a little different candidate than kind of what maybe we thought we're thinking about, and that could be because God has something different that we have in mind totally, right? In that he's a little older than what we were anticipating, but he has some really positive things about him still. And I don't, you know, I was wondering, and we were talking about these next lines of leaders, and before we introduce them to the congregation, would it be beneficial to throw a lifeline out? This is what I mean by that. Three guys say, hey, take a look at him and give us some feedback. Matthew Bartowell, Jason Vincent, and Eric McPherson. And just say, hey, look at this. You know, we're thinking about him. He's a little different. You know, just kind of get their perspective. They're a little different generation, a little different mindset than we have. And
let them watch the Zoom interview.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't run. I asked Matthew. I said, you know what, we got some things we're thinking about. You know, how involved you like to be. So whatever you guys want me to do, you know. So, just a thought. You know, so just want to put that out there, chew on a bit.
Jeff, I don't know that you ever weighed in on him that I can recall. Yeah, I don't know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, so I don't really have many negative concerns about him. I think he did a very good job in the interviews generally. Preaching style is okay. I think I looked at one of his sermons. I was the one that found him, but I don't know if I think I watched one of them.
They're all 35 minutes plus.
Well, we should consider
so he voted
else.
No.
Can I say he's the children's minister so I don't have to be in the room? but yeah, so I think that. So for somebody that is older than I am, I think that I would be willing to give him a try. So because, one, he speaks very well. He's very fluid. And he's not somebody that's a scholar necessarily. Because if we got a scholar in here that's 50-some, or he's almost 60, I guess, he would be sitting back being the scholar. But this is an active person. This is somebody that is going to go talk to people, somebody that's going to evangelize. So it's almost like that evangelist kind of thing that we were thinking about before, before Jeff even left, that that's what was missing in Jeff, that he knows about himself, that he's not necessarily that big evangelist, which is, but he's the big preacher. So now we would have that evangelistic kind of fervor behind him. And he's been both a missionary as well as a minister, as well as whatever he was doing most recently. And so,
discipleship minister.
Yeah. But which is exactly that whole idea. Mm-hmm. So it's that whole thing of making disciples. So yeah, I would not have a concern moving, I think, forward with him, at least for the next thing. So did we pass him the numbers that we were thinking?
I think Gabe was supposed to.
No, I didn't.
That was the one.
I misunderstood if we were ready for that step, but it does need to happen.
Yeah, I think from my, that was, yeah, you were supposed to send him stuff. So
I thought we were going to have this meeting first and then send the stuff.
That's probably
okay.
Yeah.
Talk about
it. I guess if we were, I would think getting some more opinions before an invitation is something I would think if we had multiple candidates, we really need to trim that list. Mm-hmm. But if we're comfortable inviting him in, I think we get these guys' feedback from that visit.
Okay.
Unless we have some, you know, we're really on the fence about it. If that's where we are, then that's a good step. So.
We don't seem to be on the fence about it. It seems like people are.
Well, I mean, I honestly had the same concern, just that we'd been so focused on trying to get a younger person. But then after listening to him, I felt very good about his interview, about, I like the way you said fluidity. He's a good communicator. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but he doesn't look like he's 60 years old.
He doesn't.
And he certainly doesn't act like that.
He doesn't. You know?
And so I got to thinking, well, maybe this is, as you said, maybe God's got a different idea. Maybe there's another short-term stint here, you know, 5 years, 7 years, whatever, that could work, you know, if it's got the right person. And you said it very well, Jeff. I think he's got sort of that little different bit than we've had before. And I think he would mesh well with the congregation. I think he would mesh well with visitors and newcomers and building up the church, you know. So the kinds of things that we've talked about, maybe needing a younger guy to do, sounds like, you know, he's very qualified to do some of those things and in a very energetic way. And so the best way to find out, I think, would be to have him come and kind of see what the congregation says. And and maybe something, and I like the idea of a few key people that we kind of tap on the shoulder and say, pay particular attention and let us know what you feel. But just my thought.
I listened to it Sunday afternoon and playing catch up. And initially I was thinking, you know, if we hire an interim person and we're still looking to hire more people later, I'm just a little concerned about how we're going to afford all this, you know. But
I'm not saying as an interim person, I think he would just be that next preacher. I don't guess he's going to preach.
Well, he even said it was like 10 years.
10 years.
At the max, 10. Yeah, 10 years because though. He said at 70, he would retire. Yeah. And he's 59 and something.
So I don't see it as overlapping or, you know, any more than what we're going through now. You know?
Unlike what Brett had originally mentioned, I think you had said that the idea of maybe 3 to 5 years.
That would be my preference.
But the thing is that the max would be 10, even by his standards, but he may even decide earlier or things.
Well, the max, unless we set a max, I mean, that would be his max,
correct.
Unless we say otherwise.
His max is 10.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, if four of you think it's a good idea, let's go.
Okay.
I would think maybe, though, talking money up front, maybe saving us some, you know, problems.
Yeah, I'll put together that package. Handout that we've used, and I don't know, you want me to put a range in there? We budgeted 80, that's kind of what we've put on the table with these other guys. You want me to just put an 80 number in there, or what do you want to do with that?
I think a range, because what if he's, I mean, I don't want to shortchange him, but what if he's like, you know, I'll do this for 70.
You so we put 50 to 80.
You know, so I don't know.
So
don't know.
My only so the one thing that he did say in the interview was that his wife has always carried their insurance.
Yes.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing because of our insurance issues right now, but mm-hmm.
right.
but I wonder if we consider have that as a very we put it in there, but we leave it as very light in that we could cover his insurance and his, like his wife's insurance, or help cover that, like extra money on.
Well, like right now, our benefits package puts, you know, $1,200 a month is on the table, yeah. whether you have a family to cover or an individual.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And okay. so, at his age, that's probably not much more than just enough to cover him.
Yeah.
Depending on this next renewal, but. That's the way it is structured.
So it's structured now, where so. He could actually get that and not have to use our plan. He could.
And we just need to be clear. He understands that's different from the base salary.
Correct. And it's mm-hmm. it's part of the package value,
not the base salary.
Right.
I know it's not a good time now, but at some point, do we want to revisit how we do insurance? Because it seems like a lot of people we're talking with. The church just gives them a flat fee and says, you know, you find your insurance because it just seems like what we're paying this year, I know for acts and everything, it's yeah. just spiraling out of control. And maybe we just push that out. And I don't even know what's possible, but it just seems like that may be a yeah. better this, way to deal with it in the future.
Yeah, that'll be an admin elder's
right.
task for this year.
Yeah.
We're going forward with the renewal reluctantly, but then we don't have to live with that forever.
Right, because I know what Katie's paying, or at least what they expect for her, and it just seems like, well, if we just gave them a salary and then you just have them fight this out, because it seems like every year and a half, you guys have to go through this headache.
Yeah.
And even on the personal level, so if you were to go get your own insurance through this, whatever it's called, I don't even remember what they call it now, Obamacare, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to get insurance there than it is for companies, especially for small companies. I mean, even Edward Jones, we got bumped so much this year, and it's like, it seems as if our HR doesn't care or doesn't try to fight. Like Dave's been working to fight to try to get a better deal, but it's one of the things that everybody got pinged this year, and then the
insurance companies are just, you know, terrible.
They probably knew Donald Trump was going to win. Ahead of time, they're like, let's do this in October because we know he's going to win and we're going to be in trouble again.
Well, how about if I put 75 to 80 in there for him because he's got 30 years.
Yeah. Well, if he's at 120, you know, it'll be over quick.
Yeah. So, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So what about Chris Jackson? What do we want to do with him?
I'm afraid I didn't see any of that for Zoom.
I didn't catch up.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So what I saw, just he lacked any enthusiasm. He wasn't very dynamic. Just very seemed like a nice guy, but you know, just somebody you wouldn't want to have up front. At least that was my impression of him. And you know, behind the scenes, he may be a totally different person, but it just that's the way he came across to me.
Okay. He's I did like him. He's one of those guys that, you know, the more time you spend with him, the more you appreciate, I think. And he has some uniqueness about him in terms of his journey. He you know, like a lot of people we run into, he started off as a youth minister. Now, part of his story was that when he took that job, I think it had like 5 youth ministers in 6 years. And he came right out of school, like with his master's in divinity. And he had worked with a church in Memphis. And he was feeling really good about the challenge. And he said, hey, you know what, I can, you know, I know I've had some success, but I think I'm ready. Feel like I've been equipped, and so he went in, and he soon realized that it wasn't a great fit, and he offered, you know sometime after he started to resign, and he told him, no, hang in there, and 3 months later, they fired him. And so that was, you know, that hit him pretty hard, and I think that's one of the reasons that they're at Harding. They just need a place for respite, right? They needed a place for respite, and so they went on to Harding, and he's over the leadership certificate program, I believe. He recruits and does admissions there, so he does a lot of traveling for them and speaking. He's also the second time to get his spiritual director certificate, where he does like spiritual counseling with people and helping them through that journey as well. So he has, you know, which I think he has some failure, which can be helpful. You know, it can help you refine yourself a little bit early on. He's prepared himself in multiple disciplines, so I think that's kind of interesting. And he does come across kind of, you know, not very dynamic, but I did listen to a couple of his preaching, and I was okay with those. So I guess I'm saying, I think he's worth a second interview is all I'm saying. I'll defer to you guys if you take, you got to get time to look at it. It's been about, 2 weeks with him now? Not quite 2 weeks, but.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
This week, Thursday.
So I think, if there's other people to weigh in.
Anybody else see the first interview?
Chris Jackson? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say I think I would echo everybody's comments. So I see Steve's point, and I also see Brent's point that he was a bit, and I think it's part of this being a spiritual director.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about being a counselor, Eric is different. Eric doesn't really fit the counselor kind of thing, really, if you think about the normal Freudian kind counselor of person. Person. The person that sits there and yes. But he sits there and he doesn't necessarily, and he even said it in the interview about, he doesn't necessarily give direction or advice on how to handle your things. He listens, and at times he'll give some suggestions, but generally he lets people work through their things. And I felt that a lot in him. So I don't know how, so I didn't listen to his sermons though. So that's the thing I did not get a chance to do. I wonder how different his sermons were than his conversation with Steve.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, I would not say count him out necessarily. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other questions we could ask him, and it may get us a better picture, I think, of him.
Yeah.
But very similar maybe to John Gunter, to a point.
Did Steve Autry do that first one with you, or just you?
Yeah, he did.
And so, any comment from him that you're aware of?
I don't recall. I think I don't want to speculate. Okay. Yeah, I'd rather not.
Okay. It was John Blackmore's that you did by yourself first.
Yes,
it is his first one.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on Chris?
No.
Okay. Is it worth a second to you?
I think that I was just in the second half, I was a little put off by the questions he asked us and the way he asked them. But I think he was nervous, and it just wasn't manifesting the way it does in the average person. But like, I think, I don't know. But I liked him in the first half. So I need, if we're wanting to be serious about him, I need to watch his sermons, because that could make a big difference.
That's what I think too.
Yeah. People aren't the same in an interview as they are.
Why don't we take another week if you guys want to watch the sermons, and I can reach out to them and say we'll be getting back with you here in the next week or so.
That's for Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, quick update on the search for children and family minister. We have a Zoom tomorrow. Ross is going to be a part of that Zoom tomorrow. Melanie Sue Karen is going to be a part of that Zoom tomorrow. And Jason is going to be a part of that Zoom tomorrow. She came to us from cyber. I think I mentioned her at our last meeting. And so she's very, very excited to talk. so we're interested to learn more about her. So we'll kind of let you guys know after these our key people who will have children.
She like post-education, or
she? Yes, post-education. She's post-education. She's had failure in her history too. So she was, I think she was working right around COVID, you know, first job. Mm-hmm. And that was a struggle for her. First job out of college and in a COVID environment, and it didn't work out. So we got some questions around what happened tomorrow. We don't really have a good feel of what happened there. Jennifer said that, hey, yes, she's working on some stuff. She's seeing actually a coach. Mm-hmm. She's talking with the coach, and Jennifer said, I'm only saying you people that I think is a good fit. And so, that's why I'm recommending her. And so so now we got to assess that too. So we're sort of assessing that tomorrow. So we'll get you guys some feedback. I guess, I'll be there, but our key constituents, Melanie Ross and Jason, are going to do the questions. I'm just going to kind of introduce, because I've been talking to her now. I was in the early stages, but I'm just going to introduce the group and then let them handle the rest of it tomorrow.
The interrogators, you mean?
Jenna, have not heard back from her. Emailed her.
It's been like 3 weeks, right?
27th. So, but I just called and texted her recently. So I don't know if she's not looking at that generation. Sometimes don't really look at emails. So I don't know. So
she's ghosting you, Steve.
Yeah, she might be. Yeah. She might be. So just recently, so I was going to give her another couple of days, see if she responded to the call or the text. And left her.
How did she come to us?
Cyber. Yeah, another one was cyber. She just recently graduated in December, so she's a recent graduate. So that's that.
Leap down to number 6 to follow up on that, if you would.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we had an intern last year. And Izzy came and said, hey, are you guys doing an intern this year? And I said, we don't have anything budgeted for an intern. So I said, but I'll talk to Jeff. And Jeff said there might be a window where he might need somebody because he's going to be gone for about 3 weeks. And if you include VBS, is that a 3 or 4 week commitment with VBS?
So it'd be pretty much the month of June.
Okay.
Yeah, so June starts out with VBS, and then we'll come back at the beginning of July.
Okay. And so I'll let, since it's Jeff's ministry, I'll let him talk about.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe it won't be my ministry by that point.
Maybe not.
We need to get this moving. But yeah, so the situation is that, I mentioned it the last time, I think, that we'll be in Hungary mid-June, so from Juneteenth around that point until July 4th. That little window. So at that point, there won't be anybody necessarily doing the job that I've been doing. So the concern that I have, and I've told that with Steve, so last year Izzy did well, and she knows the job. She helps out. She's during Christmas time. During January, her school had volunteer hours, and so she came here almost every day, mm-hmm. except for the snow days and worked out, did different things. And so I would not have a concern with it. The problem is her trips that she has in camp and things like that. So I would say if she was willing to do it, she would need to be here the whole time, especially since it's only going to be a 1 month stint to a point. And especially being that 3 of those weeks, I'm not going to be, or 2 of the weeks, I'm not going to be here at all. And those, she can't be in Florida or wherever else. And so that's the only concern that really I had with the whole picture, because I know last year she was gone up the summer
4 weeks, I think.
Yeah, high teens are almost always early June.
Yes.
That might even overlap with your VBS.
No, so it doesn't. No, so it is, we can look at it real quick, but they actually posted it on our church website the other day, so.
If our schedule doesn't work out, what's the plan for that's covering what, when
that's,
you're...
That's what
yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, there's lots of different options because the... So I would not leave her to really do a lot during that time frame anyway. I would arrange everything, all the teachers, all the paperwork, everything. And so she's really just handing out and putting things in places,
yeah.
Basic pieces. So a lot of it's going to be taken care of. So any of the teachers could do it, or I could even arrange that the things are sitting in a certain location. So Heather, when she was here, she had a closet where she kept all the paperwork at, so the teachers knew where it was at and go pick it up. So I could, and that's what I have in my office right now, something similar, but I just do it, and or Izzy had done it in the summer. So those are the, I mean, there's lots of other options to arrange it, and put switching the pictures, you don't have to switch the pictures. I mean, those are just bonuses that we do, and so.
So let me recommend this. Without offering it as a summer internship, ask Izzy about her summer schedule.
Mm-hmm.
When is Niatez, you know, that whole time you're gone, June, July, and find out what that schedule is. If she's got a family reunion and she's intending to go to high teen at Niatez, don't even offer it to her.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let her have those seminal milestone events.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And don't
agree.
Even tempt her
mm-hmm.
to not participate in those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is our senior
but if
year.
It works, I'm very comfortable with you utilizing her experience. And we've got a gap here without a minister, children's family minister, so we can afford a summer intern for however long you feel that's needed. But think in terms of somebody else. If mm-hmm. let's not take her last Niatez or mission trip, or and she did tell me she was really looking forward to Memphis. The same, you know, Nathan wants to do the same thing again this summer.
Okay.
For the mission trip, she's really looking forward to that, but I don't know when that is. And
yeah,
so
June 8th to 14th is high teen.
Okay.
Okay.
So
right.
that would be that first. Gotcha. Well, and that would lead up to. I don't know where Juneteenth is the 18th or 19th, so it's the next week. So really, I would
yeah.
still be here that week.
Okay.
The week of high teen.
Okay.
So she would be here during VBS. The next week she'd be at high teen. So it just depends on what those next
work.
2 or 3 weeks
yeah.
go.
Find out about the mission trip and if she knows
yeah.
when her family reunion will be, because with her going off to college, I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to take that away from
yeah.
a
and
senior.
Then you can think in terms of, well, who else can
yeah.
you use for a month?
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Kate Schneider kind of person.
Yeah,
or
definitely.
Something.
Yeah, those are people that definitely would step in. Melanie and others.
Great.
Definitely. The Vincents are really good about helping.
Okay.
Worthies.
One of your teachers could step up in that.
Yeah, and that's who, yeah. So the Worthies, the Vincents, Melanie, and Kate, all of them would be
yeah.
definitely. People that would be willing to step out.
Did you talk about what Kate's doing with the Taylor girls? I don't know if
yeah, so that. Yeah, and so basically we've moved forward with, so Brian's two daughters have been in the nursery since they've been born almost, but and Ariel is now getting close to 4. So she at 3, they're supposed to leave nursery, go to preschool. Because she's not potty trained and she doesn't really speak. She's struggling. I mean, both of them were both drug babies, and so they're just struggling a lot of the time. But she's been going to school, so since she's been 3, and so Kate and I and Steve and Ben and others in the nursery program were thinking, hey, we need to move her out, and so we did. So we moved her up to the preschool. Kate Schneider has been in there with her as just an extra body. Because we only have one teacher in the preschool, because at that point they're able to do their things and pay attention and do, but with her there we were like, well, especially because she's not potty trained, just having that extra person in there if, and she's never had an accident during the nursery time in the last year or two, but she's not potty trained, so it's you just have to be prepared for that, and so we have her in there, and we're just making sure that we have an extra person in there every week. And so it's been going well. So, I mean, she's starting to catch on to how things go. And it's the only times we've had issues is only things that you would have had issues with the other kids, just the same way. So if one kid wanted the other toy, and
she's still fighting.
No, not that I know of. She took a toy from somebody, I think, but it was with Debbie, and Debbie's like, I need somebody else. And so we quickly grabbed Melinda and got Melinda to come in there and hang out with her. And
so she bit Sue one time at the nursery.
A lot of the conflict in the nursery was the sisters. And so that was the biggest concern, because they knew that because they're so close, they're always together, that's where the explosions come from. And so in the nursery, but the thing is that you have all these other kids around. And so if these two are having an issue, toys are flying, whatever else is, somebody else is getting hurt. And that's what put things off. So like the clappers were, they would not leave Ansel in there by himself because they saw it happening a couple of times. And it's like, we can't leave our little kid in here. He's barely, you know, he can't even walk. So since then, Journey is great. Hmm. Journey will turn 3 in April. So they both have their birthdays are in April, so they're a year apart. And so the plan is that we'll probably just keep 2 helpers upstairs in the preschool, and then we'll just transition her. And we're transitioning like 4 people out of the preschool and about 4 people coming up from the nursery all at the same time. So it's gonna be fun because Ariel will now become the older one that has that experience. And so she will be able to help the others to a point as they start to transition in. And so we're hoping that it works really well. So far it's been good, no real concerns. So it's been a positive, both on the preschool and the nursery. So.
Okay. I did my first stint in the nursery to cover for Amy this last Sunday, and it was, 2 Sundays ago, I guess. It was really good for me. You get to know him pretty quick. Journey was doing really good, and I know who Sedona is better than I did before, and got to see the little clapper guy clinging to his mom's leg for dear life,
yeah.
Stuff like that. So that was, I need to do that. It had been a very long time, and Amy was had a little cough and just didn't think moms would appreciate her being in there. So that was good for me. So a tip, if you have any inclination, that was good.
Okay.
Last time I did it, I got so sick afterwards.
Fair enough.
Okay, so I'll just do this tuition real quick and then go to the preaching schedule. So I'll pass this out. Well, Nathan, his background, educational background, really nothing in ministry at all. His undergrad was in marketing, and then his graduate work was in data analytics. And while he was at a conference, they talked about Abilene offering his certificate program in ministry. And it's at a early introduction stage at a huge discount, right? So the credit hours, normal costs would be $499. If you enroll spring and summer of this year, you get it locked in at $125 credit hour. And so what he's enrolled, he's enrolled, he goes start in the summer. And so he's gonna have to take the core curriculum, those 3 classes there, and then he's gonna focus on youth and family ministry concentration. And so total cost would be $2,250 is the total cost for the program. That's for the coursework. It doesn't include any fees or books, whatever he's gonna need, but those are the coursework. So the thought is that several things. One is we want to retain our good people. We may have some little incentives to help retain them. and education reimbursement, just kind of the thought process there. The other thing is that the training is going to be good for him and our children, in theory. It'll be good for, you know, the children as he's going through this. It's he anticipates it's going to be 2 years minimum. And so that's roughly about $1,125 a year. So if we're thinking about doing a tuition reimbursement, this might be the time to do it. Say, okay, for full-time ministers, we'll reimburse up to $1,200. I don't know what the number is, right? And that will cover his fees for 1 year. And then next year when we enroll, well then, you know, he'll have his fees covered for that year as well. So it'll allow us to have a program, a reimbursement program, where it's only costing us $1,200 a year, right? And so it works for him. It will work for this particular program. And if when new ministers come on, we can say, hey, this is part of your package. You get $1,200 a year for courses, you know, online, whatever those courses are, online or campus courses. And so so I wanted to put that out there. He starts his in the summer. So anyway, I want to put that out there and see what we're thinking in terms of, do we want to consider introducing this as part of our compensation package for full-time ministers at $1,200 a year, or...
So are what you're saying is that he has signed up for this, mm-hmm. and he's paying this at this point. So he's committed to this. Now, the question is, I think that you're asking is, should we reimburse him for that? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I'm thinking should not just him. If we do that for him, we got to think about, do we want to do it for full-time ministers?
Well, that's two different questions. And yeah. I would say, making this a blanket policy, I would say no. I would say for him, I would definitely consider it. I would like to know how much time away. I mean, or is it, because usually, you know, you do tuition and it's like, yeah, you know, spend 4 or 5 hours a week just doing this too. And I don't know what the expectation is. Is he still working full time and going to school, or is he breaking
That's
away
the from expectation. It? I mean,
intentions.
Yeah, yes. Okay. That's expectation, yes.
I want to separate the decisions as well. Mm-hmm. I don't see us putting a tuition benefit on our full-time benefit package.
Okay.
I don't recommend that. This is extraordinarily inexpensive.
Yes.
And so this is kind of a, is there a need? What's the benefit? Can the ministry handle it? Can his schedule handle it? Let's look at this as a one-off. Okay. Does this make sense? We could do that for him. But let's not create a...
Right.
We've got one at my work. I know how they're structured. They can be incredibly expensive.
Right.
Even when you put caps on there, this $499 is not that far off for like UMSL tuition,
right.
graduate school.
Right.
Even a 50% reimbursement, you can spend thousands of dollars a year.
Yes.
And then you're, you know, is it helping somebody? Here, I can hear the fit for him in this situation, and it is a good price and all of that.
So I like
but, let's not worry about that.
Right, so I agree with that. The other that might be wise to consider, and again, that we do this at my work, is if you sign up for this, you know, you're committing to stay with the organization for 3 years post-certification or degree. Otherwise, you pay that back to the organization, because what the organization doesn't want you to do is
mm-hmm.
for you to get all this training and go somewhere else.
Right.
And so usually, you know, yeah, I think we'd be happy to do this, but I think it would be wise to maybe put that wording in it as well. And I don't know if that's how you guys do it as well.
Actually, we don't have that element, and we've been bitten by that.
Because we do that at ours.
Yeah. But we do have elements like you pay for the class. You show us that you passed it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't pay for it with a scholarship. You got a tuition loan or receipt that you paid it, and we go 50-50. But, you know, for this, those are details that, you know, I'm not adamant about. But I think the expectation that
you got to pass the class, and then, you know, 3-year commitment or something, agreement, that makes, that's reasonable.
I don't know that you can actually do, they used to have, where you could contractually say that they would have to buy back if they leave, you know, the expenses. But with all the new stuff that's come down recently, like you can't have non-competes anymore. It's a different world right now.
And a lot of it, I'm not sure that you need the teeth. It's just an understanding. It's like, you know, because if he is going to take you to court, it's like, well, we've got bigger problems, you know. But yeah. It's like, hey, here's what our understanding is, and, you know, we just have to be clear about it.
My feeling is we probably spend more than this when we send him to the youth minister conference every year.
Yeah.
And we have gotten so many positive feedbacks about him. Mm-hmm. I think we do everything we can to make him feel good about being here and being a job. So I say, we say, yeah, go for it. We'll be glad to pay for it. And we'd like, you know, you just to consider, since we're shelling this out for a couple of years, that you'd give us a couple 3 years afterwards too, or you know, maybe you'd have to pay us some of it back, or, you know, I don't mind putting that clause in there at all, but I think we, this is a no-brainer in my mind, just based on what everybody seems to have felt so far about what he's doing. And
so does he not have the clause in his contract, like we've been putting in the contract for the preachers, that says annual budget?
We don't have an employment contract, but we have. That was what I'm sending the candidate is a memo of understanding.
A memo of understanding. Yeah.
But here we would just say, just as if he said, "Hey, instead of going to youth minister conference, I want to do this," or if he said, "Can I do both this year?" We just do it as a one-off. It's not a policy. It's not a benefit. It's like, if he said, "Hey, I need a new laptop this year that does ABC," we'd probably buy him one, you know, kind of thing. So just look at it that way as a, okay, this makes sense if you want to do it. And I think for this price, a full reimbursement if he passes the class kind of thing would make sense, as opposed to 50-50 or something on this one. And you're right, we spend $2,500 a year sending him to Honduras every other year. So we can absorb this.
Okay. You getting ready to go, Don?
Yeah, I got it.
Can you wait 5 minutes and we can talk about the collection process? Is that okay? We skip to that one?
Yep.
So on that, I would like us to start like next Sunday, just saying we've got the collection box. And so I'm willing to say I will cover any, if we're concerned about missing any money out of the box, or that, you know, people don't see it and we're down hundreds of dollars, it's like, whatever, we're down over the average, I'll just pay for it. And we'll just have that box in the back. And Don's got a great idea. We'll eventually put it up a little higher so it'll be easier to see. But, you know, starting off, we'll just push it up where it's easy to see when you exit, you know, towards the back of the foyer. And if, you know, there's only $5 in it, I'll put $300 in that box. Just, you know, whatever the average is, I'll pay it. And I just think it's going to make the process on Sunday a lot better. Just say, you know, somebody's going to have to make an announcement, and I think it'd be good to be an elder is, hey, you know, starting today, you know, most people give electronically, and, you know, the kids are going to put it in the box, and everybody else, there's a box in the back. And again, just mention that for prayer requests, you know, we definitely want to get the prayer requests, you know, and if anybody's got any contribution. So I would like to start that this next Sunday. And again, you know, it's maybe a couple of weeks people fumbling around trying to find it, but I have no problems. I will, you know, make up for whatever that is.
No,
because we did this for a long while. We went without passing the place. Yeah. And I forget when it was or how we decided to go back to it, but I mean, I'm 100% behind not passing the plates anymore, because it's...
Yeah, we thought that it was a good reminder, very much more tangible and everything, and with the prayer requests, but it's such low participation that we weren't expecting learned.
It's offset by just the awkwardness of, you know, passing that plate. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I just... I don't know.
When you have to wave it off, yeah. It feels bad.
Yeah. And that's what so I think if we can start next Sunday and just get away from that. I mean, still do...
Who said next Sunday?
So I have announcements, and so we'll have to do it at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not at the end. He wants to do it for service.
No, I was just saying, so usually you do the communion, and then you got the prayer before the collection, and just what at that point, an elder just get up there and say, hey, you know, just this is new today, you know, we're going to have the kids give theirs in the box, but we're not going to pass a collection plate anymore, but there's a box in the back. Mm-hmm. Please put your prayer requests and your money in, and that's what my thought would be, is just do it at that time.
And then the communion leader... says that every Sunday when they prompt the children, they're still going to do that.
Yeah,
and they remind, hey, remember, there's online options and the box in the back for your prayer requests. That can be said every Sunday.
And then at some point in the future, Don and Steve are working on putting holes in the pews for the
cups.
For the cups, but you know, we can deal with that later, and we just deal with the contribution.
Thursday, we're going to rise a test on that.
Steve will be back.
I got a job for David Upton. He can collect those cups.
Oh, yeah. Hey. That is perfect. That is perfect.
That'll be good, I think.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don. See you, Don. So we want Steve to talk to Nathan when he gets back about tuition reimbursement program. We got to work out some of the details out of it.
Yeah.
In terms of how we want to do it.
Yeah, we want to make sure he feels like it fits in his schedule and, you know, it's on top of what he's already doing. Is that... his understanding and everything.
Yeah. That's his understanding. So we'll get clarification on that, though.
Yeah.
And then in terms of how we want to reimburse them, that still sounds like we want him to complete the course, submit any paperwork, and then we pay him after the course completed.
I'm flexible, but that's just the structure.
That would be my preference, and that's usually how it is. And on here... you know, you get a 3.0, you just, as long as you get a B or above, and, you know, just bring us your receipts, and we'll pay for that. And okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell Steve, let him talk to him about it. He will.
Right on that box, you should get one of those big, like, things that he put up there that's orange.
Well, that's what I was talking to him, just make it as obnoxious as possible.
Exactly. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Reflectors on it, blinking lights.
Or a big hand going down.
Yeah.
I don't know what I know we need to do something in terms of a discussion about the preaching schedule, but I don't really have a whole lot of information on what the schedule looks like. I know he had... Do you?
The only thing I know is that... So I know that this coming week is Philip Matheny.
Yeah.
The next week, there's nothing.
Right.
Jeff Kreider told me he's down for the 23rd.
Right.
Okay, so then that got put in there. Yeah. So then we have 2 weeks that are scheduled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had talked to him before he left on his trip. He knew that we were going to get together, and he's got another trip. So, I mean, it's... Yeah. He's just too busy, I think, that I don't know if we need to figure out some other way to plan it or if he's planning it and we just don't know.
Yeah. And so on that, like for the past two meetings, so it's been over a month and a half, we've been waiting for Steve for two things. One is the preaching topics and you know, Steve and you were going to kind of help get that together and here's what we think we ought to talk on. But the other is... the schedule, and you know, Eric McPherson said it'd be great if we had Kreider, Eric McPherson, and Matthew Bardawell as standing, and then we've got, you know, two open Sundays and rotate people in and out, and you know, we need to talk about that. Is that a good idea? And you know, you just get your batting order, and then you know, if you get a standard batting order and then you got some two open slots, it's a little easier. But you know, those two items, you know, what were the topics, you know, that and you and Steve agree that you're going to take that on, and then what is the preaching schedule? And hopefully Autry will get back for the next meeting to help do that. Otherwise, I think we'll just have to
It's already March, the second week of March, or the first week of March, I guess.
This is the last meeting for February, unless we have to call something, you know, specifically online, like a Zoom,
right,
to talk about
that.
We can do that. Yeah. You know, we can have a Zoom just for this particular item because we only have one meeting in February. Right. So,
does anybody have any reservations about us standing batting order. And it doesn't have to be Kreider, McPherson, and Bardawell, but that makes sense to me. But it seems like if you just say, you guys, are you willing to do that? And then we'll just find two open slots.
I don't have any reservations.
What happened to, you know, elders were supposed to be, you know, at least once a month in the pulpit, and that's just gone away. I mean, in terms of, you know, a regular routine.
Well, we could do that with this, and Autry preached
last week,
and so, and we can do that with this if we want to.
Yeah. I think the, I'm sorry, but
yeah, I was going to say, I haven't done anything in a long time. You know, mm-hmm. I told Steve if we had a vacancy, I'm happy to help.
Okay.
But, you know, nobody's said anything, so.
Yeah.
Who's the next? You're done in March with the...
I think it's John. I think Don picks up in March.
I'd like to get information, you know, when my bat comes up, you know, what month as it is.
In the office, by the copy machine, I have the list up there.
Uh-huh.
Because when we talked about who the staff should contact if there's an issue, I printed it out and put it up there for the staff.
Oh, you're a good man.
He is.
And so I showed it to Steve because I couldn't remember it either because it was like,
you share it with us?
Yes, I can make a copy for everybody if you want to take it all with you.
Sunday, who's the, you know,
guy? Yeah.
And that's Kaylin arranging that. Yeah. So that's, you have to look at services to find that out.
The person should know.
I do the Shepherd's Prayer on the 23rd. That's why I know about Jeff preaching that day.
Yeah.
So that's two Sundays away.
Yes, we usually get a heads up a couple weeks in advance. He sends out.
And she's through the month of March, I thought. She said to me.
Maybe it's me. I don't know. I'll have to look. I haven't done it in a while. It could very well be me. I don't recall, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can tell you too.
But in terms of the preaching schedule, Brad, I don't have any problems with a regular lineup. I think Kreider said he's ready to go for a regular lineup if you want to do that. But there is the other thing. He said that means I won't be able to do some of those other things like leadership development, work with some of the next steps, and work with some of the other ministries. He said that will limit his capacity. So I think it's prioritizing where we want him, you know, spending his time, what we need right now from him. Do we need him preaching, or do we need him doing some of these other things? And so I think that's the thought process.
I understand that. We don't have him tagged for anything else, and I would just say, get him preaching until we find something else for him. But I think you're right that there's other things that he can do.
And it'd only be once a month, like you're saying. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So Autry is this Sunday.
He's the closing.
He's the closing.
Okay. Okay.
And then Dave. And then you, Brad.
Okay.
So you're the first week of March 2nd.
March 2nd.
Okay. Right after the writing show.
You can draw shade on the variety of them.
I wore my straw hat. Yeah.
So that communication needs to be happening now for those three guys because 3 weeks from now we need somebody on the second.
Which Kreider said he has 2-3 lessons already ready to go. So if we need him two times in a row, he's available. So
wait a second. No, Steve did say he arranged for the first 2 weeks of March, I think, for Jerry to come.
I oppose that.
I was thinking there was
I think that's what it was.
Jerry couldn't make it, I don't think. So he said.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, he said Jerry could not make
it. So neither of the two times? Or?
Neither of the two times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got plenty of people around here who can fill in. We don't have to pay them. And, you know, I think we got to start. Yeah.
Yeah, the last week of March will probably be me.
Okay.
Because it is the
fifth Sunday.
The next, the fifth Sunday. It's the next Gen Sunday.
Okay.
So we know that last one is taken. Nathan and I had a conversation about it, and I will be gone. The next one is June, I think, is the next fifth Sunday. And since I'll be gone, he volunteered. And he said he may be gone too, but there's a better chance of him being here than me.
Okay. All right.
But that's still, there's four Sundays between them, now and then, too.
So what do we need to do about the preaching schedule? Do we just ask Steve when he gets back to give us an update on in terms of an email?
Well, I know Steve doesn't like it, but you know, I can just send out I'll send out the meeting notes, but I'll send out a separate email specifically on that, saying here when we met, we talked about this, and everybody felt it was fine. You know, is there anybody have any problems with it? And then, you know, let's start tapping people on the shoulder and
you're talking about the regular lineup.
Right, yeah. Okay. Kreider, Eric, Matthew, and then, okay. You know, we can start filling in the blanks, but I'll send out the notes, and then I'll send this out on a separate email and see if we can get the ball moving that way.
Okay. All right.
And I'd say if there's a lot of contention, so if people start emailing, we should not have an email conversation about it. We can throw a Zoom on there or something, yeah. Just say, hey, let's have this in person with everybody on it, and that way we don't have to worry about that. I think it'd probably be easiest. So like Monday or something.
Yeah.
Next Monday. Yeah. Throw a Zoom on.
Yeah, since this is the last meeting in February, we're flexible enough maybe to do a Zoom sometime. You're right, Jeff.
Sunday evening.
Like Sunday evening?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we discussed leadership development. We talked about potential of deacons or some other layer. We need to flesh that out a little bit more. This is not the night to do that, obviously. But
yeah.
I think we also, the last thing is the half-day workshop where we talk specifically about gender identity and divorcing leadership. Are we on board with that? I mean, what are you thinking? And if we are, do we want to think about what our schedule will allow for something like that to happen where we can pretty much all be in attendance? Because this is something we probably all want to be in attendance for. So I would suggest we maybe start looking at dates. If we are on board with the ideal, when we say we are on board with them, we look at dates, what might work for us so we all can be there. So are we on board with this or no?
My thought is I like it, but we have to assign homework.
Absolutely.
So you can't just come there and have a stream of consciousness talking about gender identity, because I think it's got to be, you know, Dave Weiler, you've been studying this, present what your feelings are, and then as the eldership, we say, okay, here's what we think that means for us, or here's what we think we need to come to terms with internally. I don't think we're going to get to a position where we're going to say this is going to be publicly posted anywhere, but you know, maybe it is, but I think we got to assign homework, like Dave, present what you are think about this, and then as an eldership, we have to say, okay, how much of this can we agree with, or where are we with this, what are we comfortable with? And I think the same thing with the divorce and the leadership is somebody's got to say, okay, I don't know if we need a pro and a con side, you know, here's what the scriptures say on either side, and you know, let's pray about it and make a discussion. And so, and then the same thing on the 2014, you know, Steve's right, that document's old. Yeah. Somebody should say, okay, I will, before the meeting, I will hack this thing up and I'll present something for us to go through. And I think if we have that, I think it'd be a really good half day.
I think we do need homework. I agree with you, you know, and that's probably what we need, at least 60 days to work on some stuff, you know, because it might require us to read a book or two, you know, before we even come in there. And that's, we need to be able to commit to that. And I know you got a crazy busy schedule. You may not be able to do that right now, but.
The only book I need is a Bible. I mean.
Okay. Okay.
To me, there's two genders. It's real simple.
It is.
That's, you know.
Just the nuancing of it, though, you know.
Well, I'm thankful for, you know, some of the change that is coming back, that's saying, you know, we're not going to let girls
play sports.
Sports.
I agree with that, yeah.
And, you know, to me, I don't need a whole lot of time to study this, to be honest with you, if you want to know my opinion, but, you know, it's just me.
Well, I think, though, that the discussion that Dave and I have looked at, it's kind of broad. It's not, you've got the black and the white, but then you've got we have alcoholics that come to church. We have people that beat their wives that come to church. We have people that are dealing with their sexuality come to church. Now, do we accept the two and reject the other? Mm-hmm. Or are we accepting to all of those, knowing that all of those need to change? But, and I think that's kind of what the struggle is,
yeah.
is how do we meet them, not chase them away, mm-hmm. meet them where they are, mm-hmm. You know, still have a position on, like what you're saying, what is right, but how do you deal with that loving the individual?
Yeah, because there is, we do treat people differently based on their sin.
Right.
And let's just take a look at that and say, is that appropriate or should we change some things, and how do we go about changing that if that's appropriate? So.
Yeah, I mean, even heterosexual out of marriage and, you know, those kinds of things. So,
exactly.
And that's a lot of what some of the books that Dave's been going through that, you know, we've read. And, okay. And how do you just work through that?
Yeah.
Okay. I can give you the rundown what the Supreme Court says. And, you know, but that's what, to me, if a person is searching, any person can come here and sit and listen, but when they want to become a member of this church, there is a, you know, a line there that, you know, this is what we believe, and if you can't accept that, then, you know, it's not wanting to hurt people's feelings, but this is what God says.
So I'd ask the question, how intense is Steve Walker being with people's lives? As he's giving them going through the next steps with them. Is he asking Sandra, what's your relationship with your husband? Have you ever had any intermarital affairs? Have you had this? Have you had that? No, he's not. And that's where we struggle, because we have a problem with sin. We know sin is bad, and we don't want anybody sinning. But I'm not asking Ross what his life is like. And that's where maybe there's a gap where I should be able to have enough relationship with him that I know this is Ross's situation, this is how he treats his wife, how he has these other concubines and whatever else, and know all about this, and then I can say, Ross, you're not Solomon, or something like that. Those kind of things. But that's where it gets really difficult, because we usually assume that the person that comes in looking like my daughter is somebody that probably has issues with gender or with whatever, her father, I don't know what she has issues with, but because she has different color hair, she's wearing guy's clothes most of the time, and so you're going to judge her based upon that, just by what we see. But she may be the most female of everybody in our church, but we just don't know it, and that's where we tend to let our eyes do the walking and determining, and that's where it's hard, and it's knowing which is the right decision to make. And we know Jesus was not that way.
Right.
We know the people that were in sin, he said, hey, come on. Mm-hmm. And just don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm having lunch at your place.
Get that food ready, come on.
Yes.
So that's where it's the hard piece of how to handle that whole situation of lovingly accepting everybody in.
Yeah.
And if they want to be a member, are we going to ask them if they drink all the time? If they have an alcoholic problem? Are we going to ask them if they have affairs, if they have a same-sex partner?
Well, with gender identity, though, it's kind of worn in the sleeve. So it's
most of the
like
time.
Not private.
And, right. And I would say, hopefully we are aware of these issues in people's lives, you know, part of leadership and mentoring and walking alongside of people. But yeah, the question is, if somebody's an addict and they're struggling with their addiction, if they go out on bender, do we not welcome them as a member anymore? And I don't have the answers to this, you know, because, you know, and if you're struggling with your sexuality and you're not practicing, you know, can you then be a member? Is that where you draw the line? And there's just a lot there. But I you know, I hope that we're aware, because everybody's sinning, right? Everybody's got this crap going on in their life, and hopefully we're helping each other with it. And I think at some point you got to say, yeah, you've gone too far. But, you know, I don't know, you know, a lot of that.
An example that I've seen happen on is like Marty, you know, I mean, Marty was living with a woman who was not his wife, and the elders went and said, you don't need to do this, and he said, I don't care, and, you know, so, you know, it was, there was a public statement from the church that Marty is, you know, outside the right. bounds of being a member of this church, but he was welcome to always be there because we want him to hear what we're teaching. And it took him 20 plus years before it got through, but, you know, praise the Lord. I don't think it might have happened if it hadn't been for, you know, the fact that there were people praying for him all of that time, and he knew that there were people that loved him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's what I call hard love. I mean, you know, when the child walks away and goes and gets in the pig pen, you know, sometimes you just got to let them, you know, decide when they're going to come back. And it is hard. But you can't change the design of what God has done, saying, you know, males should not be, you know, having sexual relations with other males, and females shouldn't be doing it either. And that's what we want to teach. And, you know, I don't judge anybody by the color of their hair, the color of skin, or anything else. But if somebody is knowingly, you know, a thief or stealing or doing those things, we have an obligation as elders to deal with that. And we've always been, I thought, pretty good at doing that thing. But this whole, you know, I think it's gone off the railroad tracks, and I think we're seeing a pushback coming, which I appreciate, that says, you know, there's morality counts. You know, and it's not that every one of us is a sinner and we all need grace, but if somebody's notoriously and, you know, flamboyant about it or whatever and saying this is what they're going to be doing, well, that's a problem.
So that's it in a nutshell, is how do we, I don't know how welcoming our church would be to a couple that are wearing their sexuality on their sleeve and they're coming to visit. And we would want to be welcoming, and while they're searching. Yeah. And so are we welcoming enough, or are there things we do to help the body be as welcoming as we envision? I think that's what this would digest a little bit more of. I like your summary. And Marty was a good example, but are we ready for that as a body? I think we'll have people freaking out if we had a couple of women come in holding hands to visit one Sunday. I really do. And we'd have people up in our grill asking, what are you doing about that? And are we, you know, and we just need to be ready and know and be deliberate, and maybe there's some teaching we can do. Anyway, that's the crux of it, as opposed to taking a look at what we've always defined as sin from the Word and changing that. It's more, is our body where it needs to be? Because our culture is, you know, we're going to have people coming our way looking for God, so can we do that?
It's happening. I think our paths are intersecting more and more with that group. And so it was a time where those paths not intersect because that group did not really want to be that visible and that public about their identity. But now they are. And an example was that, let's see, she is related to, she is like Gwen's brother's granddaughter. So she comes to church from time to time, and she brings her notebook, she's taking notes, but she will tell you she's married to another woman, right? She's married to another woman. And she was there, and I was wondering this, you know, she was there the day that we were talking about coming to the marriage seminar. So what would we do if they walked into a marriage seminar? You know,
we since teach what the Word says.
We teach
what the Word
says. We teach. I mean, we would. We would. But I'm just saying, we would teach the Word what it says. But you know, those are awkward moments. I mean, those are really awkward moments that we're not prepared for that. Like you said, how do we prepare our congregation? How do we teach? How do we help people to, you know, to be able to deal with that in a psychological way? And, you know, because I think that's part of it, but also being prepared to know that they're grounded and they're doing the right thing. They're loving them. They're providing opportunity for them, but they're not condoning the behavior, right? And so, so I wouldn't be surprised if I'm not expecting her to come to the mayor's seminar. I'm not expecting that, but she is looking. She's trying to figure something out in terms of her spirituality and her relationship with Christ. And right now, she don't look at her marriage as a hindrance to that. She doesn't see that. She has not made that connection. But she's taking notes. She's trying to dig into it and trying to figure this out, right? So so that's somebody that's searching. Now, I don't know how she comes to the conclusion at the end of the day that what she's doing is okay. You know, I don't know. But if she's really that diligent into the scriptures, I don't know how she's interpreting that, right? So, but I think the point is that our paths are going to be intersecting more and more. You know, it's going to be intersecting more and more. Okay. I don't have anything else. That's just something that we missed that we need to put on the table. Number 9.
Well, let's just take a minute. It is 8 o'clock, but, I mean, it's mid-February. And we met in April or May for this. I don't know if you guys already know when you're traveling or when your spring breaks are and stuff like that.
I have my portable brain with me.
Yeah. Right now I'm pretty open.
I was going to suggest a Saturday morning, you know, up here, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 8 to noon kind of thing.
Yeah. 7:30 to 11:30.
Yeah. Two months from now, Easter is April 20th, so.
The next weekend is.
Not right around. What's that?
The next weekend is the retreat down at Nietes. So Nietes the first weekend of May.
What retreat is that?
The church retreat. Family retreat.
Oh, okay.
We're hoping to see you there this year, Brad. You are welcome to come.
I usually go down for the afternoons on that one.
Yeah.
We would like you there from sunrise to sunset.
They have air conditioning and heating in the cabin now, too,
right?
They
pimped them.
Brett likes to go out in the cold winter and run, so you can run around.
That's right.
It's usually cold.
They got outlets you can plug a CPAP in?
Yeah. Yeah, that's easy.
I won't sleep without it,
So the 3rd is the retreat, May 3rd?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the 10th. Is potential date, I guess.
Yeah, Mother's Day is the next day, the 11th. Okay, that's Mother's Day weekend. Okay, might still be all right, but
yeah. Then we need to think about the homework that we need to be preparing for too. That gives us some time to get that locked down in the next couple of weeks. Okay, I'll tentatively put it on my schedule unless something comes up.
That's May 10th from 8 to noon or 7:30 to noon?
7:30 to...
Let's do 7:30 to 11:30.
Okay.
4:30 to 2.
Let's try that, and then if that gets bumped around because Steve looks at it or whatever, or Don.
Yeah, the only thing about that. Steve is the baby being born. I don't remember when his the due date is.
Yeah.
But I know it's between now and the summer, I think. So like early summer. But that'll be the one thing he'll probably bring up. Wrong call.
All right.
We say an 8 or what?
I think they were done 7:30.
7:30 to 11:30.
Okay.
On May 10th.
All right.
What's number 10 on your agenda?
Don.
Oh, he had some.
No, no, he was next. He's going to let us know when the next
meeting is. He's just handing the baton.
Handing the baton. Yeah. Yes.
Don Fitzgerald. Okay.
Yes.
The next Don Fitzgerald.
Yes.
You can be him.
Yes.
That should be a comma. Next, comma, Don Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. I mean, unless you guys got anything else.
So Steve Offrey, he's in Florida right now?
I think
visiting his kids?
No,
he's still the youth ministry
event.
Yeah. Oh, there's an event, okay.
Yeah.
Has Kreider found employment? Does anybody? I know that was kind of on his schedule, but I don't know if he's been looking or.
I don't think he's found.
He hasn't mentioned that I heard. So okay.
He's been dealing mostly with his health issue. I think that's been kind of occupying his time a lot, but he's not working anywhere.
Was he looking for a job?
I thought he was going to after retirement here. Was to plug into something.
Walmart or something.
Greer.
I didn't know what that might be. Or how
Ron.
Ron.
Gonna
be, So, anyway, well, if you've done that too, that's good.
I noticed that the week he preached, he was very much like arm bumping and wouldn't shake anyone's hand. Hmm. And then this last Sunday, he was warmly shaking people's hands. I don't know what changed. Maybe he was just feeling under the weather before, but it just made me feel like something good's happening there. Maybe he's just being more introspective and thoughtful about relationships with what's going on. I liked it. I like a good handshake.
You just give him a big bear hug.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to one up.
Okay. All right. We are done.
Thank you, Steve.
No problem. Thank you. Look forward to my notes. See how well.